Our text for this, the first Sunday after Christmas, is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the second chapter. And we will read verses 21 through 40 in that chapter. It's the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 21 through 40. And we greet you with greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, how wonderful are these things. They might seem kind of insignificant to us, but Father, these are some of the most stunning things that ever took place on the face of this earth. For you are incarnate. And so it is this day, Father, that we glorify you, that you overlook nothing, that you fulfilled everything necessary for our redemption. And Father, we pray that every day you would remind us of the depth of your commitment to us, that we likewise may be so committed to you. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. It probably doesn't strike us. You know, we look at Christmas, we think of the birth of Jesus, we look at Easter, we look at his resurrection, we look at his suffering during the Passion Week, we look at those sort of things. And those are things that are great highlights on the Christian calendar, and we shouldn't minimize them at all. They should be understood in that way. But we do lose sight of a lot of these things that we read about today. And we shouldn't lose sight of those either. As we read from St. Paul, he says that he sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. And that's strange. Because God, of course, gave the law. God is the one who bestowed the law to Moses. He gave it to him. We know how that happened on Mount Sinai. We know the whole story behind it. God is the Lord of all of these things. Now imagine what it's like to circumcise God. The incarnate God. That God subjects God to circumcision. That God subjects his own son to the law, to the upholding of the law. And we sit and think, well, why would he ever do that? I mean, why can't he just skip all that stuff? I mean, really, why not skip all the intermediate steps? He's God. You know, why doesn't he do this? Because it's for us. He has to fulfill the covenant for us. He has to do all of these things for all of the people of Israel, for all of the people, all of the Gentiles. He has to follow through on all of these things for every one of us. And that's why it says, under the law, on the eighth day, he's circumcised. And he's christened. Basically, he now receives his name as a child of Israel. He is, as we say in the Greek form into English, Jesus, but his name in Hebrew is Yoshua. It's Joshua. He's given the name Joshua, which means Savior, Savior. Can you imagine what that's like? At the moment that he comes to be circumcised and to fulfill the covenant of Abraham, and the promise that was given to Moses, that on that moment, can you imagine what the heavenly host thinks of all of this? At that moment that the incarnate God is brought in to be circumcised, and he receives the name Savior, Savior, because they know what he's here for. They know why he's incarnate. They know he's here to save. He came to save us from our sins, as was told to Joseph. He's here to save us from our sins. He's here to release us, to free us. But in order to do that, he has to fulfill all of the principles of the law. He has to fulfill all of these things. He has to stand in our place. He has to take our place before his Father. There's nothing insignificant about this at all. It's stunning. It's amazing. It's one of the most amazing things that ever happens, that God subjects himself to these normal human requirements. God subjects his son to this. And still yet, Mary has to carry out the purification. She has to go through what it says in Leviticus. She has to go through this offering and this purification. And so they come to Jerusalem. And here is the most amazing thing, I think, maybe in all of the scripture. It says to present him to the Lord. He is the Lord. He is the Lord. He is God. Can you imagine what that was like? They brought him to Jerusalem, to the temple, to present him to the Lord. But he is the Lord. He is the temple. He is the dwelling place of God. He is the incarnate God. Nothing insignificant about this. This is a miracle. It's one of the greatest wonders that ever took place. And why did he do this? For us. He did it for us. Every one of these actions is for us. It wasn't that he needed any of this, but we did. He is the new humankind. He is the new human race. He is the rebirth of the fallen race of Adam. And he presents himself, he has presented himself in our stead to fulfill all of those things that we would not. We could not, because we were sinners, because we were fallen, and because we could not ever hope to fulfill these things. God sent his Son, God himself, to become us, that by the power of that incarnation, he himself would bear us to God. He would bring us to God. This wonderful child born in the manger that is presented here in this way, this child who is circumcised on the eighth day, this child who is christened with this name, Savior, this child bears all of us to God. He brings us to God. He is our sacrifice. He is our gift. He presents us to God, whole and complete, cleansed from our iniquity through the power of his shed blood. And then you realize there were turtle doves or pigeons that needed to be offered. But those pigeons and turtle doves couldn't do a thing. They were just waiting. Waiting for what? All of those sacrifices were waiting for this one day when this child would enter the temple to become the sacrifice, that he would be the sacrifice. All of these sacrifices were looking forward to this one person entering into this temple and himself making the sacrifice that would cleanse the world of its sin. And now, can you imagine what it was like for Simeon? Can you imagine what it was like for Simeon? Simeon was an old man. So don't give me any more of that nonsense about when people get old and I can't do as much as I used to. What a pile of nonsense. He's an old man, and he's still filled with his Lord. He's still filled with the promise of his God. And every one of us gets to read his story this time of year. We read his story. Because here is this old man. But he has a promise. He's been promised. The Lord has told him, as he waits for the consolation of Israel, as he waits for this deliverance, as he waits for this Savior, the Holy Ghost is upon him. And he has a promise that was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, that as a matter of fact, he would not see death until he had seen the Messiah. Until the Lord's Christ had come, he would not die. And he comes into the temple. And of course, none of this we recognize is by happenstance. He comes into the temple just at the time when Joseph and Mary bring in the baby Jesus. And they're there simply to do what they think is following the rules of the law. I can't even imagine what it was like for Simeon when he saw this. Because it says, it doesn't even say anything about the interchange that takes place at all. But he goes and he grabs the baby Jesus. He grabs him. He takes hold of the baby Jesus because he understands he's taking hold of his salvation. He's taking hold of his Savior. He's taking hold by the Holy Spirit of the promise that was delivered. He takes him in his arms, holds the Messiah, holds the incarnate God and blesses God. He gives blessing, thanksgiving to God. And these are the words of what we call the Nunc Dimittis. That's just the first words of what he says in Latin. Now let depart. Because that's what he says. He says, now I can die. He says, now I can die in peace. I can die in peace. Because I know that my Redeemer lives. I know the truth of all of these things now. The promise that has been given to me. I can die in peace. According to your word, he says, according to the promise that you gave me, I know now, I can die because I won't die. Because the promise is fulfilled. And I'm holding the promise in my hands. And he says, for my eyes have seen your salvation. I can't even imagine this. I can't even imagine what this would really be like. To sit there and recognize that you're holding in your hands the God of the universe, the one through whom, the scripture says, all things came into being. That you're holding this being in your hands who has been sent to save you from your sin. And to understand now, I can't even imagine. You know that feeling, what it's like when the Holy Spirit does that to you. When the Holy Spirit works in you and all of a sudden you feel that in your heart. And he does this thing. It's kind of funny. And it's kind of like, I always call it, he like tap dances on your spine. You know, you kind of know that and you feel that. And you know that what's going on in there. And you understand. I can't even imagine what this was like for Simeon as he held that child. And what that must have been like for him to experience the power of the Holy Spirit at that moment as he speaks this glorious word of God and he tells us, this is your salvation. Your Savior has come. What was spoken to you is true. He says, and now, he says, what you have prepared, he says, what you promised, what you prepared before all people, through all generations, he says, now this has come. He says, this has come. And now, it's not only just for the people of Israel. He says, this is a light to lighten the Gentiles as well. It's a light to the Gentiles. And it is the glory, the bright reflection of your people Israel. He's the fulfillment of all of this. All of this has come. Now here's Joseph and Mary. And you got to wonder what that's like too. Here's Joseph and Mary. And yeah, Joseph had his vision. Mary had her visitation from the angel. But still, you got to imagine, this is pretty tough. Pretty tough to imagine that somebody grabs your kid and starts talking about him this way. You know, it's still pretty hard to imagine that this is really what's taking place. And it says that Joseph and his mother were shocked at these things. Literally, that's what it says in Greek. They were shocked at this. Even they couldn't really fully comprehend what was going on here. And it's for this reason that Simeon then reaches out and blesses them. He blesses them. Because he seems to understand. This is really, really quite amazing. And hearing and realizing that they're shocked at this, he turns to them and he says to Mary, he says, look, he says, this child, he says, he's going to be the one in which many people are going to rise up and many of them are going to fall. He says, in other words, he's going to bring repentance to the people. He's going to be the one that brings them to their fall, but he's going to raise them up as well. And as a matter of fact, he's going to be gainsaid, which means he's going to be opposed. You need to understand, he's going to be greatly opposed. And he says, and for you yourself, and this Greek term means a broadsword. He says, a broadsword is going to come through your very own life. He says, so that would be uncovered out of the hearts of many their logical doubts. Because Mary and Joseph weren't perfect, they had to wonder exactly what was going on here and understand, what is this? What is this really all about? Is this really, this baby is the Messiah? He's the Messiah? He's the promised king of Israel? And what Simeon was speaking is the representation still that goes on in this world, where you will hear people say, is he really that? I mean, people will agree with us all the time. Oh, yeah, Jesus, you know, when we read about Jesus in the Bible, he was a really nice guy. He did really wonderful things. You know, some people will say, well, yeah, he was a prophet. You know, he was a prophet. He came to tell us what was true and things like that. But you understand, apart from the Holy Spirit of God, apart from the Word of God, there is no ability to truly believe in Jesus and to understand that all of this is real. He's really the Messiah. He is really the Savior of the world. He has come into this world in this very, very strange way to show us the depth of the grace of God. And that's why people question all the time when they look around in the world and they say, well, can this really be? Is that really the case? Is he really that? And Simeon had to bless Mary and Joseph to get them to understand, yes, yes, as a matter of fact, but this isn't going to be easy. It's not going to be easy for you. It's going to be hard to understand. Because your little boy, your little baby boy, happens to be the incarnate God. And Mary, you are nursing the incarnate God. You are washing and caring for the incarnate God. The little boy that you take care of, your little baby, is the incarnate God. And he is the Messiah. He is the Savior of Israel and the Savior of the world. Oh my God. How does a human mind ever come to the point of really fully appreciating what was taking place here? It can't. And this is why it's only by grace through faith. It's only by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, that we really come to this place of knowing. Because otherwise, we could never know. We could never know. Because we will still, in this day and age, dealing with a COVID pandemic and dealing with the circumstances around us, we will still have questions. We will still ask, well, God, where are you? What are you doing? You know, God, do you really know what you're doing at all? You know, don't you see what's going on here? We will ask because the flesh is weak. Because it has no power to understand the things of God. But God, in one moment, laid aside every doubt by manifesting himself in a manger in Bethlehem. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, investing in the heart of Mary and in the heart of Joseph, in the heart of all people who will receive him, this grace by faith to realize your Savior has come. Your salvation is now complete. You are a child of God, because the race of the fallen Adam has been atoned for in the blood of this child. And here was a prophetess, an old lady. You know, you always hear this sort of thing, old ladies. Well, here's an old lady right here. It's an old lady. We sit and think, you know, people say, well, you know, I'm an old lady, or they talk about old ladies, you know, and what are old ladies able to do? Well, apparently a lot. As a matter of fact, quite a lot. Because here's this old lady, Hannah is actually her name. And she, as a matter of fact, is a prophetess. She's probably about the last of the Old Testament prophetesses. She, we don't know exactly what to make of this, whether she was married for 7 years or what exactly her widowhood was, whether she's 84 years old, whether she's been a widow for 84 years, it's hard to say. But the one thing we can say, she's old. She's been around for a long time. And it says very clearly that what she had done is that she served God. And this is a miraculous thing. This old lady, what did she do with her life? Well, she served God. She served God. And how did she serve God? It says that she served God with fastings and prayers. It says night and day. She was engaged in prayer, and she fasted, and she sought God for the people, and she would come to the temple, and she would partake of that worship. And lo and behold, she shows up in the Bible. Don't ever tell me old ladies can't do anything. Old ladies are stunning. My grandmother, in her 80s, was one of the greatest prayers I had ever met in my life. My grandmother prayed, and she believed in prayers. She believed in them very strongly. The scripture points this out, I think, with great purpose, to remind us old people are not past their prime. I hate to tell you, all people that wander around, yeah, I'm old, I'm past my prime. Forget it. You are always in your prime. Because you are of the Lord. The baby that's here is for you, no matter how old you get. No matter how old you get, that Jesus is still your Messiah. He's still your Lord. And you know him. You know him. And he knows you. And if you're old, it just means you've had more time to experience him. You know, that's all there is to it. You've had more time to experience that than other people. And you are greatly blessed. You are most greatly blessed. And because of that experience, you know that your Lord hears you. And you know that in the twists and turns of life, that your God is with you. Because the baby in the manger testifies to the nearness of your God. And you know him. And he knows you. And Anna, as she's called here, name as I actually said is Hannah. She comes in. And it says, and she instantly, upon the moment that she entered, gave thanks to the Lord. Just like Simeon, it says. Likewise, in the same way as Simeon, she gave thanks unto the Lord. And then she spoke of him to all. In other words, she went out and just started talking to him. She just went out and started talking to all of the people that were in the temple area. She just went out and started telling them. All of those that were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. She just started to tell him, he's here, The Redeemer is here. He's here. And you can only imagine the joy that filled her heart as she got to say those words. He's here. He's here. The Redeemer of the Lord is here. It's no less now. That joy has never been diminished. The joy is still the same. The Redeemer of the world is here. The Lord is here. He is here. And what I like about this is that's where it ends. Kind of. This is where the story part ends. Then it goes into narration. Because that's the whole point, is to recognize very clearly, if we know the joy of the Lord, if we know the power of His redemption, if we know that He is here and that He has accomplished this, then what are we to do? Share it with everybody, that's all. We're just supposed to share it with everybody. It's supposed to be an understanding now as the grace of God has come to us, as we realize our sins are washed in the blood of the precious Lamb of God. That the power of Calvary is upon us. That the cross is done. It's past. That now the resurrection is upon us. And as a matter of fact, we can die freely. We don't need to fear it any longer. We can understand when the time comes, we can just go. And that should make us a little happy. No, it should make us a lot happy. And see, that's really the problem. We're just not ever really happy, are we? Because our minds are on the wrong thing. We're looking at us and not the Redeemer of the world. But the Redeemer of the world is with us. Immanuel, God is with us. With us. And that is a joy that is unspeakable in the Holy Spirit. It is a joy that knows no bound. It is a joy that comes to expression every time we have that sense and we hear the story and we know in our heart of hearts, and the Holy Spirit does that thing to us where we understand and we know for you, this is for you. It's for you. It's done for you. He did it for you. He saved you. The promise is for you. And because of Him, we all can face tomorrow. Because of Him, we all can live. Because of Him, life, life is the word that He speaks. And death is conquered. Because of Him, the triumph is in place, and the victory is ours through Jesus Christ. And when you get that feeling in your spine of the Holy Spirit, that's the victory. That's the Holy Spirit telling you, yes, it's for you. It's for you. You are my child. You are my own. I live and dwell in you. You, you. I saved you. Saved you. And that's the beauty of this narration. Because Luke just writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when all of this was done, they went home. I think that's one of the greatest things ever. They didn't like build a souvenir shop or do anything like that, you know. They didn't turn around and make it into a, like a religious shrine or anything like that. They didn't do anything like that at all. They just went home. They went home. Because they had a life to lead. But their life had been sanctified through the finished work of that baby, the promise of that baby. Their life was sanctified. And your life and mine is sanctified. And that's what we need to understand. Your life and mine is made holy. We are washed and made blameless in the sight of our Lord. His grace fills us to the point that we understand we are new beings. We are living a new life, and we are waiting. We are praying with St. Paul till we are clothed on from above with that tabernacle that is promised to us. And we are living in hope, and we have a life. We have a life. And that's what the scripture says. The child grew and waxed strong in spirit. He had a life. In other words, he lived out a human life, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And because of him, you and I, the grace of God is upon us. The grace of God is upon us. It is upon us. We couldn't run and hide from it if we tried. We can't even do like the first Adam and Eve and try to hide ourselves anyplace. We can't run from His grace. His grace is upon us because of this child. And if that doesn't bring a smile to your face, I don't know what will. That is a joy that is unspeakable. It transcends every human understanding. This baby showed up and was circumcised. He goes through the sacrifices. He goes under the law. He does all of these things. For what? For us. For us. So that we would have a life. That we'd have a life. And we would have it abundantly. The world needs to hear. The world needs to hear from us. The world needs to see us in action. The world needs to know what we know. Because there's a lot of hurting people. And we have the salve. We have the healing balm. We have the gospel. And that gospel still saves. It saves the hurting. It saves the distressed. It saves the bereft. It saves the pained in every way. It saves. I don't ever want to be done, but I'm done. Because this is the greatest message ever on the face of the earth. And I don't even know how to give words to it enough. I don't know how to say it enough in the right way to give it its fullness and its emphasis. Except to say, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. And may He be thanked from generation to generation. And may His thanksgiving be eternally upon our lips. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, and can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? And the answer is yes. It is yes. It is your glorious, wonderful yes. Spoken to the world in your Son. Fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. Fill this place, this house. Fill your children everywhere with that testimony of your Holy Spirit. And grant us your peace. Send us forth to bring that message, to simply declare your glory. the finished work of your son on that Roman instrument of torture 2,000 years ago, into the empty tomb that people would see and know the power of life everlasting. Give us that hope, Father, because your world needs it. And give us all ears to hear. And do all this for Jesus' name's sake. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit, be with us all now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.